This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Touchdown! I don't believe it!
You're listening to the best of the Browns.
Ball game over! Browns win! Browns win!
A weekly mix of 92.3 The Fan's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
He agrees with that statement. Do you?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out something that would be more important. Like, I'm just like broad statement. I mean, I think a win's probably more important, but is it in the big picture of things?
I want to win. Well, I want to win more than I want Miles to have the record. Although they're very close.
Would we talk about Myles Garrett having and breaking that record? And this is not. It doesn't mean because we talk about it more that it is. But I'm saying, like, in my mind, I feel like I would reference this season with the sack record as the. That being the thing that mattered the most, more so than a win against the Bengals. And so, like, I don't know the shelf life of a win against the Bengals, even if the ripple effect, obviously, that could be large, especially when it comes to Stefanski.
I don't know how much the sack record, and again, like, it's important. It is a prestigious record. It has stood for 20 years with Michael Strahan. So getting it, it stands to reason that it's going to stand for another 20 years, and that's good for Miles, and that's great for Miles. And his Hall of Fame candidacy. I guess I would look at it and go, how much difference really is there from 22 sacks to 23?
Well, I guess it's already
his best statistical season he's ever had.
But it also might not last for 20 years either. You know, it could be the type of thing
he's
going to
break it next year.
It may be, maybe 2 years from now, maybe 3 years from now. I don't know.
You get 50 sacks in 2 years, and you. That beats anything Reggie White or Bruce Smith has ever done, and I say that with absolute love of those two players.
I mean, I think there's been so much value of him chasing the sack record that even if he doesn't get to it, we've already reaped the benefits. I think this year had a chance to be disastrous when it comes to Myles Garrett complaining and Myles Garrett talking about how unhappy he is, and all of that's just gotten pushed to the side with this sack record and him chasing it down. Like, that's a really good thing, all things considered.
Oh, it is. I still think there's a chance we're talking Myles Garrett trade in March, though.
Oh, for sure. That's definitely on the table. But like the idea
but I think
that
that's about Kevin Stefanski and what happens if you don't keep
usually
Kevin.
For the previous 6 weeks, we've been talking about Myles being unhappy at this part of the season, okay? Like, this is we've done this enough where we've seen this. What's the smile for?
I just had a thought. I don't want to do the diabolical question thing because I think that's starting to.
Can't tease it.
Social media is killing that.
Well,
that's where it started. And then now everybody in sports talks like, I got a diabolical question for you. I've heard other.
That was almost mean.
I don't
even. You're Bozo the Clown there for a second.
I promise you, I'm not firing a shot at who you think I'm firing a shot at.
No, because you think we're firing. Because everyone thinks you're firing a shot at somebody means you've already fired the shot at them.
No. I'm firing a shot at other markets. The amount of people that lean into, and I'll be honest with you, my old station has done it way too much, where I've seen like 4 videos in 1 week on diabolical questions. There are not that many diabolical questions in sports, especially not Carolina sports. Now, why'd you make me take a shot at somebody else to prove I wasn't taking a shot at Ken?
No, you're sidestepping because you don't want to ask the diabolical question.
I got a diabolical question for you!
Matt, can we just come up with a synonym really quick for the diabolical question? Can we get this down?
Diabetes.
No, that's
I got a diabetes a question for you. How's my A1C look?
It's not great. Not great at the moment.
The woman in that always, I thought, looked like Marley Rivera. And
you
I was like,
so?
does she need to lower her A1C? I didn't think so. Mac? Yeah,
so we have devilish.
Yeah, the devilish.
Lame.
That is lame.
Fiendish.
Okay, that sounds like Mama Pat.
Yeah, that does. That sounds very much like, okay, keep going.
Demoniacal.
Demoniacal?
Yes.
Okay. I would just go maniacal.
Infernal.
I don't like any of these.
No, these all suck.
You can choose one, JP. It's a diabolical question just for JP.
Yeah.
You can choose one. Shador throws for 300 yards on Sunday, four tutties, no INTs, or Miles gets one sack.
That is diabolical.
Told you.
That is.
I get another question for you.
That is a diabolical question. Oh, I don't like it. You don't want me to answer this question.
Oh, but I think I do.
No, you don't want me to answer this
Matt,
question.
Matt, do you want him to answer this question? I think I'd like him to answer the question.
I think I'd like an answer.
Can you call? Hey, Jack, scream down the hall for us. Do you want?
No, Mac, don't get up to open the door.
No.
You think it's going to carry over?
No, get Jack's on this one. He's a soft-spoken man. We're going to need to get the echo here. Jax, do you want JP to answer the question?
I like that you can hear Mac in the background. Do you want JP to answer the question?
Jax is running from the porta john.
Jax is screaming out, I do! I want him to answer that question!
That's not a good... It's like Willy Wonka on the H. What are we doing there? All right. I don't know why this game of telephone's taking so long. It seems like Jax literally... No, I'm done.
This was the dumbest thing we've ever done.
You're all pissing me off now. Answer the question!
That's all you had to do from the beginning. It didn't need Jax's approval. This is like Fanta creating a referee out of thin air. Like, you just have to sometimes...
Oh, there's Jax. Jax, do you want him to answer the question?
Yes, answer the question.
Ah!
Shador for 300 yards and four touchdowns. We all know that's the answer. I'm taking the long-term over the short-term satisfaction. But, I mean, like, yes, I want Miles to get this record. Am I crushed for Miles if all it ends with is no sacks and he wins his second DPOY while he's already cemented everything for the Hall of Fame?
This feels like a bit of a flip-flop.
How is this a flip-flop?
It felt like you were saying the Miles thing's the most important thing, and then I presented something different, and you were like, no, that's more important thing. The Miles record
doesn't present
really...
anything. What are you talking about?
No, I presented it. No, you present... We all presented. There was a team.
I mean, I asked the question before in the pre-show, but that doesn't mean I'm like saying that I believe it. I'm trying to figure out what exactly is the most important thing about this game.
Yeah, and then I think you were angling towards getting the sack was important.
Yeah, and you thought wrong. Clearly, you
I
thought
think
wrong.
You changed your tone.
Not
Mac,
a change.
I didn't tell you
my tone. How would it have changed?
Has he changed his? Have we flip flop a little bit here?
Maybe a little bit of flip flop.
Can we get Jax back here?
Flip flop.
Can we get Jax back here to see
my opinion to begin with?
Jax, do you think he flip flopped? We'll get on Jax.
No flip-flop.
Oh, wow.
Thank you.
Well, that wasn't really Jax. That was Mac throwing
good
his voice.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night. My goodness. I want Shador to throw for 300 yards and four touchdowns over Miles breaking the sack. If you were to run a poll, because you like those, I would bet 90% of Browns fans probably would say otherwise.
Well, I don't have the capability to run a poll on here.
You have Twitter, though.
Well, yeah, I think we want Jax to do this, although we don't want him to run back in the room to talk about that. All right, well, 216-474-0092. You can only choose one. Shador throws for 300 yards, four tutties, no INTs. Or Miles gets one sack on Sunday. What are you choosing?
I'm taking the Shador passing yards. While doing so with the same understanding that the debate we started this with of which one has a longer standing... shelf life, it's clearly Myles Garrett breaking the sack record over Shador throwing for 300 yards.
So the problem is, for me personally, Shador's already the quarterback for 2026. So, like, I don't need that.
I'm glad
for
it's for you personally.
To lean into this,
I need the Browns to think about it unequivocally.
Yeah, well, but I think there would be more fans. Again, recency bias does play here. If you throw for 300 yards, four touchdowns, no INTs, and obviously we're going to say that that's a Browns win, and it might even save Kevin Stefanski's job more, though. Now we got to think about that one again. It's realized potentially downside for you.
There's a lot of ripple effects to all of this, obviously. There's a lot,
but I think it
there's
would
a lot at stake in this meaningless game that nobody wants to put in their televisions even. It seems like there is a lot at stake here.
PJ saying, bad job out of JP.
For what?
Oof. I think it's for the take that you had.
I know, and I know that's not going to be a popular take, but we work in the honesty business and the truth brokering business.
You
this
are
is
the
what
truth
I, this
broker.
Is, I can only tell you guys how I feel. I can't tell you anything else. I can only tell you how I feel. And how I feel about this is pretty simple. Miles has already solidified himself as a Hall of Famer. He's already locked down his second DPOY. Like, if I had thought that this would genuinely be the difference between him getting in the Hall of Fame or not, I would root for him to break the sack record over Shador. Not even a question asked. But this is not going to change his lot in football life the slightest bit. This is not going to change the reflection and how people think about it and think about him big picture in the slightest. He is unequivocally the best defensive player in the sport. No one's debating that if he gets the sack record or doesn't.
All right, I'm going to $1 bob you, because Kay points this out on the 92.3 The Fan YouTube channel. She said Shador, but I'd take Miles two sacks. So not one sack, but two sacks. So now you just break it. You shatter the record to 24 sacks over 300 yards. Miles gets to 25 sacks. I'm going to $1 Bob K. So you get three sacks from Miles or 300 yards from Shador.
No, the answer is Shador. It's still Shador. It will remain Shador for the rest of this. If you say seven sacks on there, I'm still probably saying Shador.
Well, that's ridiculous.
There's no amount of sacks.
That's ridiculous.
No, the sack number isn't going to make or break this for me.
Seven sacks and a win.
All right, we're going to stop the convo. We're at seven sacks. We're stopping the convo.
Or 300 yards, four touchdowns for Shador, but a Browns loss.
Okay, so I'm assuming you're in your diabolical question, your devilish question, your everything that you've thrown out here. And one word on one synonym that I noticed Mac did not want to read because I'm assuming he doesn't know how to say the word. Fair assumption. It sounded meaner than it was.
Should we go to Jax?
It sounded. let's see Jax try to say a word. I'm assuming you would take Miles then.
Which one? With the seven sacks and the Browns win?
Stop being a goober. Stop being obtuse and intentionally doing this.
Am I being obtuse?
Yes, you are in this.
I honestly think it's an impossible question because I do want the record for Miles. I like in the end, it's not going to make or break what I think of Miles. The season's already incredibly special what Miles has done, but 300 yards and four tutties against Cincinnati would shut up a lot of people.
Don't ride that fence on this.
I'm going to plop my fat ass on one side of it. I'm doing some theatrical stuff here. We're going back to hair and church and whatnot.
Slap the priest.
He was playing Jesus. It was totally different.
It was Godspell.
Yeah, come on now. It's like a circular bit. Anyways, I would lean towards Shador. But I think Kay brings up an interesting point. What if he doesn't just beat the record? What if he just shatters it?
Can we go? I want to do rapid fire with some fans here.
All right, let's go with Nathan in Westlake. Miles gets one sack in the sack record on Sunday, or Shador throws for 300 yards and four tutties, no INTs. What are you choosing?
Yeah, I don't know if you guys have lost your mind, but you have to go with the Miles Garrett sack record. Shador Sanders having one good game will be forgotten about in a week. Breaking a decade-old record and taking it from a Steeler, because let's not forget, he's tied with T.J. Watt for the record. Taking the record from a Steeler is far more impressive than Shador Sanders having one great game, especially considering he's not even guaranteed to be our quarterback next year.
But what if that would guarantee it?
And part of that is why it's important.
I don't think one good game at the end of the year in a game that doesn't matter does anything for Shador, to be honest with you. Even if it is a 304 touchdown game.
Oh, I think it matters a great deal.
Yeah, Nathan, I think you're a hater showing, my guy, but we appreciate you. Malik in Cleveland, one sack for Miles in the sack record or 300 yards and four tutties for Shador on Sunday. What you taking?
To the gentleman that said that this was an impossible decision, he'd be sleeping on or watching the games on his fat ass, in his own words. I don't know if he's drunk or anyone else on the show is drunk, but this is such an obvious choice. Not impossible like Fibonacci sequence or anything of the like. I don't care if Shador Sanders threw for 1,000 yards on his bad foot and while blind. It would not matter. It is of zero significance. The entire season is salvaged by a single sack by Miles Garrett, arguably one of the best Browns in history for a 300-yard game. A 300-yard game?
Wait, the entire season is salvaged? So the a four-win season is
it's just not... It's a meaningless season. It's a meaningless season. All that stands to remember from this season is the fact that Miles Garrett set this record. But, oh, I'll take 300 yards from Shador Sanders if it's a basket away.
What is more?
Who's coming up with this stuff?
Okay. We asked a question.
It's called a diabolical question, Malik.
And for him, it wasn't. And I like that, though.
Also,
very confident also, in it. I like that.
What's more likely to save this season, quote unquote? Miles breaks the sack record, which we will continue to remember happened on a 4-13 team, or Shador uses this game in the six games before it to launch into being the Browns' starting quarterback and they're competitive again next year.
He's already gotten everything that comes with breaking the sack record, everything that comes with it, he's already gotten. He's gotten the promotion up to being the unequivocally best defensive player on planet Earth. Check mark. He's already clinched the defensive player of the year. Check mark. Like, Hall of Fame is already checkmarked. Like he's everything that would come from breaking the sack record. He's got that in the bag already. Even if he doesn't break it Sunday, it will not diminish anything that he's already accomplished this season.
I don't know why, but I really liked when you were saying checkmark there. He was so authoritative. That was good.
Thank you.
That's good radio. James, sack for Miles in the sack record or 300 yards from Shador with four tutties on Sunday. What you choosing?
The sack record is more important.
Why?
Because it'll be there forever. And you can look back at it.
Michael Strahan got 20 years.
It'll probably be broken in like half of the decade.
I remember Jim Brown, man, running over people and around them and taking off and nobody could catch him, and he was bigger than they were. I remember those days.
But every Jim Brown record has been shattered.
And you'll still remember Miles if he breaks it or doesn't break it.
Jim Brown records were shattered because they played more than 12 games a season.
All right. So, James, is the season devalued and diminished if Miles doesn't break the record Sunday? Because that's what I'm hearing. If you're voting on the side of you need the sack record as if you need it for some part of this season to matter and some part of the record to be the end all be all, then it does set you up for the idea that if he doesn't break it Sunday, you look at this season very differently. And for myself, I don't.
Well, I look at it like this. Okay, Sanders, for instance, now, if it was guaranteed that he's going to be the quarterback for 10 years, then I know he's going to be a good one, and I would take his 300 yards.
But that's not how football
works. I don't know if he's
going
to be there next year or not. But I mean, if somebody's quarterback in the Browns for 18 years, like Bernie or somebody like that, you know he had a good career, and you know we had a good quarterback. Right now, you know, we don't know. Maybe next year he may be great, and then the next year he's over with.
All right, James, we got a boogie, buddy, but we appreciate you. We got plenty of calls on this, 216-474-0092. Miles gets one sack in the record on Sunday, or Shador gets 300 yards, four touchdowns on Sunday. We're going to put this up on the 92.3 The Fan chat on YouTube that you guys can go ahead and vote on. Continued reaction on this, your calls, and the Peterlin pass in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
A very, very, very happy New Year's Eve to everyone out there. Dan Menigan in for Baskin and Phelps today. We have a program ahead of us. We've got Tim May joining us at high noon from Letterman Row. He's going to get us ready for the Ohio State game coming up tonight. Right before the ball drops, Kevin Stefanski will be live from Berea 12:35 today. We will carry that press conference live as the Browns are still practicing, getting ready to take on Cincinnati. Of course, that game will be Sunday. 1 o'clock, you'll be able to listen to that right here on your home of the Browns, 92.3 The Fan. And our buddy Daryl Ryder is going to join us at 1:20. And joining me today, I think you and I did this on a pregame once. The great Spencer German. The always wonderful Spencer German.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I think we've done this a few times.
That's right.
There was definitely a day where somebody was out or somebody had to leave early, and then you stepped in because you're always here pregame, and like we sort of did like at least the last.
So were you the one who was there when we were talking to Mary Kay and they were going up against the Titans? And for some reason, not that this is going to shock anyone who knows me well enough, I totally forgot that it was a home game and thought it was a road game.
That's what it was. You're like, what's the weather like in Nashville?
And she was like, it was better. It was better than that. And the only reason I say that is because I was so freaking embarrassed that it still sits on me right now. And I think I sweat through a shirt that day because of how embarrassed I was. I asked Mary Kay if she had any good barbecue down in Nashville. It was what I asked.
That's
and
right.
And she went, we're in Cleveland.
Maybe
and I was
like 2 years
good
ago.
Gravy.
We were last here.
Nice job, Maddie.
I do remember that. Hey, we've all had those moments. It's okay. You know, I am looking forward to this. I'm glad we get a chance to work together. The holiday week sort of perpetuates these things.
It is.
People are out. It's nice. I will say, though, it's funny. I ended the morning show yesterday with Jake, or I guess I had to leave a little early, but I ended my time saying like, hey, happy new year to everybody. You know, Jake, happy new year to you, blah, blah, blah. And then Jake was like, hey, I think you're here tomorrow.
Bad
and
news?
I was like, wait, what? And you want to know what it was? You want to talk about embarrassing things. So I talked to Keith about hosting the show with you. I remember I was texting about it, but I lose track of all that. So I have to wait for the schedule to come out. He sends us the schedule. And what I normally do when I know I'm hosting more than the Saturday show, which is my go-to every single week with Earl.
Of course.
I search my name. I'm like, Spencer. That's what I search Spencer on the thing to see like how many times does my name pop up.
Spencer.
And then I know exactly the time slots I'm in. But the problem was my first name was not attached to this time slot. It was Menigan and German.
Oh, no.
Jake picked up on that. I did not pick up on that. So I was actually glad because I was like, I would have been getting a text from Dan this morning like, hey, man, what's going on? And I would have been like, driving to my friend's house for a little brunch. What's good? It would have been, but I was like, Menigan, you had to text me yesterday. So I would have figured it out eventually.
You coming in, bud?
But I get to do all my pleasantries and wishing people Happy New Year all over again.
Absolutely. So. And you know what? At least that way they hear it twice. So then that way it actually might sit in and they'll get it correctly. So this has been a fascinating 24 to 48 hours since the Browns win over the Pittsburgh Steelers. In that it feels like some of the narratives that are surrounding this Browns organization are beginning to change. And some of the things that we had locked in and thought were 100% certainties might be moving a little bit of a different direction. And especially one of those being Kevin Stefanski. And so this morning, a little bit last night into this morning, we have seen a lot of rumors and rumblings coming out when it comes to the coaching carousel. I mean, that sucker is spinning like there's no tomorrow right now. And the first of those that I saw yesterday came from Jeremy Fowler of ESPN. He hopped on This Is Football podcast with through ESPN with Kevin Clark. Good listen if you ever get a chance. Had this to say when it came to Kevin Stefanski's job situation and where Kevin Stefanski is sitting and how this is looking.
So I've informally set the over-under on 6 jobs. We have 2 of them open. We'll see. I don't think it's going to be a year where we have 8 or 9 openings. I just don't. I'd be surprised. But there are some 50-50s out there. You know, Cleveland, Las Vegas, those are 2 places I see as like, you know, they've done their preliminary research for a potential move. Doesn't mean they're locked into doing it or that they've decided yet, but those are certainly on my radar. That would make 4.
So when you hear preliminary research, Spencer, what does that say to you?
I think it tells me that clearly this is like where there's smoke, there's fire. All the conversations about like, would they move on from these guys or are they just going to run it back? It's not just, you know, us speculating and talk radio hosts jumping on the air and trying to like, people think the media forces these things, right? They're always like, let's blame the media for why this is happening. No, this is like a legitimate thing. These are conversations being had within the organization. We could get to Sunday and by Monday morning in the wee hours of the morning, know that they're making at least some change within the organization and that Kevin Stefanski could be on the out. Now, what I also think is interesting about this though, is like, you know, the Browns, let me put it this way. Jimmy Haslam, I think, has tried in recent years. And I think he's done a pretty good job of like making less emotional decisions. Like, I think he's tried to let the football people football. I think he's tried to not let things like 1 week to week be like, because he had plenty of opportunities this year to fire Kevin Stefanski if he wanted to, but he was like, we're going to see this thing through. I think that speaks to him learning patience along the way. But what I think is interesting is like with this stuff getting out here before this game on Sunday, Jeremy Fowler says it's still 50-50, but it feels like it's leaning heavily in the direction that Kevin Stefanski is probably going to be gone. Like, if you're already sort of laying the foundation for this, you've already got the ball rolling on that. It seems like you can't possibly leave that game on Sunday and then keep these people intact. Because once that gets out there, like, the cat's out of the bag. How do you sort of rekindle a relationship with a coach and be like, hey, you know what? We have faith in you for at least another year when now this information's out there. Oh, hey, we were at least poking around on potential head coaching candidates that could be available to us if we do decide to fire you on Monday. Like, and that also does feel like he'd be making an emotional decision if he decides, well, hey, we were sniffing around, but you know what? You beat the Cincinnati Bengals, so now we are going to retain you and keep you around. Am I wrong in feeling that? Like, does that make sense what I'm saying?
Well,
So let's take a half step back. Okay. And let's remove our orange and brown glasses for half a second here. Okay? Let's remove Cleveland Browns from the team that we're talking about. If I were to tell you that a team that won three games, followed by a team that won four games with a shot at five, was doing preliminary research into a possible head coaching change, I think we would both look at each other and go, yeah, you should do that.
Yeah.
That's what you should do. You have been a bad football team for 2 years in a row, and we are not 100% sure the total direction this is going, and your offense is a train wreck. And you're an offensive-minded head coach whose offense is a train wreck. Okay? So that's if we remove the names from this. Now, back to your point of patience of Jimmy Haslam and all of that stuff. I think you're 100% right. He has shown a lot of patience because the Jimmy Haslam that we've both come to know and love would have canned Kevin Stefanski at the bye week. Like, after getting absolutely railroaded by the Patriots, they would have canned Kevin Stefanski in the past. That would have been done. It would have been Coach Jim Schwartz. We would have moved on from there. He is really happy is the wrong term, but he seems to like having Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry in those positions and believes that those guys can succeed in this league. And I can see what he's talking about. I think Kevin Stefanski is a good football coach. You might think I'm crazy. I think he has lost his way for his offense. And I think the message has become, I don't know if I could say stale, because those guys, boy, they played their rear ends off against the Steelers. There's no questions asked that they were all in against the Steelers. It sounded like they were behind everything. It sounded like they were completely bought into what was being said. So maybe the message isn't as stale as I thought it was going into that game. But you've won three games. You've won four games with the chance of five. You probably should do preliminary research into a head coach. So I know everybody like wants to barf when they hear the terms due diligence. This feels like truly due diligence. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, and listen, I'm not saying that you shouldn't do that. I want to be clear on this, because to your point, when you win hypothetically seven games in two seasons, we'll see if it gets to eight.
Shot at
of
eight.
Course, nobody should be safe in that instance. Mm-hmm. I've been saying that all season. I think it's a hard point to come back from once this information gets out there. To be like, well, hey, we were sniffing around, but hey, now you beat the Bengals, and now we're going to keep you around. You know what I'm saying?
That's a really good point.
That's, I think, one of the big things that, like, to me, I'm not going to say it's a foregone conclusion because I don't have that information. And even Jeremy Fowler, who is a legitimate insider in this league, is saying it's still 50-50. It's a toss up. But if I'm believing that Jimmy Haslam is using all the information and that's his new sort of thought process, the way he goes about things, he's not just jumping to conclusions. How does a win over the Bengals just save you? You know what I mean? Like, how does that just become the thing that's like, well, hey, now all of a sudden, because you won these two games, it's all fine and good. When we were within recent weeks sniffing around on potential other coaching candidates that we would like to hire. I just think that's a hard place to come back from. If you're trying to sell anybody on this regime, we believe in this regime for next year. We're going to turn it around next year and put the utmost confidence in those guys to succeed next year. I think this almost feels like you have to then make a change come Monday.
Well, and
if you're having these preliminary conversations.
See, that's a really smart point by you, because A, we have not heard of like the Dolphins having their preliminary research get done. We haven't heard the Jets doing any of their preliminary research. We haven't heard any other team that may possibly be looking at the Steelers, the Ravens, you know, teams that you're kind of, maybe it's more the fans that are driving that than anything else. Cards, great call. We have not heard those kind of teams doing quote unquote preliminary research. So maybe that would signal that the writing is on the wall, because why would you want that out there? And they have been so good, the Cleveland Browns, at being Area 51, at legitimately at all times saying, you're not qualified to know what is going on behind that curtain. We will tell you what we believe you need to know that is going on behind that curtain. But for all you know, we could have the nuclear codes back there. We could have the Tesseract back there trying to figure out how to power the whole city. We can't tell you that, though.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
and that's how they've operated through this whole thing.
And then you start thinking about, like, who put this out there? Why is this out there? Like, those conversations come to mind. And you wonder, like, is this Jimmy Sexton, who's Kevin Stefanski's agent? Like, Albert Breer's been on
pretty
this very station.
Agent,
he's been on this very station talking about how, you know, maybe it's just time for a mutual split. Where do you get that information from? Probably an agent who's saying, I want my client to be looked at the utmost esteem. And so if the Browns are considering this, maybe this is agents talking and being like, hey, listen, we want to people to know that Kevin Stefanski's might potentially or is going to be available for a head coaching job. And we think that, you know, he's a great option for XYZ teams out there that could be looking for a head coach. So that's where that sort of stuff comes into mind.
You've seen that stuff leak out there, especially with Jeremy Fowler saying, hey, the Giants would hop all over him in a minute.
Yeah.
Like, you're that's seeing that stuff come out there. We've heard that goodness since Jump Street. I mean, they've been saying if Kevin Stefanski was made eligible, he'd be out there. He would immediately get hired. He'd be the, I mean, one of the better coaching candidates in a very, very shallow pool, which, hey, well, props to you. You know, being one of the best coaching candidates might put you in a decent position. The whole thing is so fascinating. 216-474-0092 at the Sports Feller on Twitter at Spencer German, correct?
At Spencito underscore. There's an underscore at the end. It's a weird thing. I get it. I know.
No. That's a win.
I need to change it. At some point, I will.
Why? It's a good one. It's catchy. How many Spencitos are out there?
The reason there's an underscore just for context here is because the handle at Spencito is taken. And that was the handle I always wanted. But it was some guy that never used his account. So I held out hope for years. Like, he'll get rid of it at some point. I can just take it. And it's never happened. And then Elon came along and said, we're going to deactivate accounts that aren't actually active. And the guy still has the account. I don't get it. So what do I have to do to just get the actual at Spencito handle? That's all I want.
So that guy must be using it for to actually read news and not post anything. He's got to be one of those where he's just got it linked into all the different newspapers
his
and
time
all that
on
stuff.
Twitter, Johnny Manziel not studying tape on the iPad.
Right, exactly. Well, we know a ton of people who are like that, where they have accounts, but they just don't have their name on them.
They have burners,
They got burners. Exactly. And the logo of the burners that they can read it. Anyway, folks, when you hear preliminary research when it comes to Kevin Stefanski, does that tell you the direction that the Browns are already going? And more than anything else, and Spencer and I will dig into this in about 5 minutes. How much does Sunday really matter then? 216-474-0092. Dan Menigan, Spencer German in for Baskin and Phelps. You got 92 through the fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Some really passionate stuff from you guys on the phones out there this morning at 216-474-0092. I absolutely love hearing it. Nick Padone, Coach Riz, Lance Reisland with me in studio, hanging out with you guys here till noon. Daryl Reiter, our Cleveland Browns beat reporter, set to join the program at 10 a.m. We will pick his mind on what happened with Ohio State. We're also going to talk some Cleveland Browns with Daryl, of course. Coach, I got to say it. I think Sunday is going to be it for Kevin Stefanski. And I really thought when the team kind of got off the mat and fought for him against the Pittsburgh Steelers, I was like, hold on now. I'm not so sure that this is really the end that I thought I saw coming here. And maybe there's a world where they beat the Cincinnati Bengals. We'll talk about that later in the show and what that could mean. But with some of the reports and some of the leaks that we've had come out from ESPN's Jeremy Fowler that the Browns are exploring it, then you see the Mike McDaniel thing come out, which is absolutely crazy. Before the move has even happened to get off of Kevin Stefanski, we're already starting to get, you know, candidate leaks that come through. And then when Kevin Stefanski was asked straight up at his availability this week, does he want to remain the head coach of the Cleveland Browns? Like, he couldn't give a straight answer. Like, that's three different things that I have going against him remaining the head coach of this football team as we move into next week. Like, I think Sunday's it, man. Like, I think we are going to see the last game of Kevin Stefanski on the sideline in Cleveland. And I think that's noteworthy because we've done so much talking about it over the last couple of weeks and the last couple of months and what the fallout of this season's going to be and all of this stuff. But he's been the head coach here for 6 years. Like, that's the longest coach that Haslam has had in his ownership tenure here with the Browns. So this next hire and this, what we're getting ready to go through in what I'm expecting to be a head coaching search, like, this is kind of pivotal in the history of Browns football and the history of where this team goes from here, because it all starts with the coach. Like, I know everybody wants to talk about who the quarterback's going to be next year and if they're going to package these two first-round picks up and go trade for a guy, or is Shador going to be the guy? Would they dare put Deshaun Watson back on the field? Everybody wants to debate what the QB thing is going to be, but to me, you got to get a head coach because that's going to give you your path. That's going to give you your direction, and Jimmy Haslam has not done this in 6 years. It's been a while since Haslam has done this. We're seeing, you know, some reports out there as well that maybe Andrew Berry is going to be a guy that has a voice at the table and what the next chapter of Cleveland Browns football is. So I'm fascinating to see what happens on Sunday. Do they rip the Band-Aid off Sunday night? Is it a mutual split? Because it kind of sounds like Kevin's done here and he feels like he's taken them as far as they're going to go. I just feel like we're kind of at a precipice now with the game. Today's Friday, game gets played Sunday, and I feel like we've done a lot of talking about it, but no one's had a real opportunity to sit back yet and really have an understanding that this actually could be it. And that's kind of monumental because he has been the head coach here for a long time, and that's something that the Browns have not had much of over the last couple of decades since they returned.
Well, it's interesting. So I've been on record. I would like to see everybody or nobody. And obviously in the game of football, it's product based. But I think Kevin's going to be the scapegoat. And I truly believe he will be the scapegoat. And he said the right things and he's done the right things. And the effort that his teams have played with has been very impressive to me as a coach. But obviously they're not winning enough. And when you're not winning enough, things have to happen. But there's other things. Everybody has their hand in this pot of futility right now, in my opinion. They all have had their hand in, whether it's the personnel or how they do things or practice plans. If you get all the way down, again, everybody has their hand in it. And when you start over, you start over. And unfortunately, that doesn't always mean wins right away. That means starting over from everybody in the organization. Some people want everything new. I always laugh. Tell me what preliminary work means. Like, is that has to be an agent-based thing, right? What does that mean? That's crazy to me. Like, people say there's been preliminary work done. Like, what does that mean?
To me, that means it's over. Like, especially because that got out. Like, the Browns are doing, and that quote from coach there, that's from ESPN's Jeremy Fowler, who put out there that the Browns and the Raiders both have done preliminary work on a potential head coaching change. So if that gets out there and you're doing preliminary work, like, dude, say my fiance got word that I'm doing preliminary work on getting out of our relationship, and that gets back to her, it's over. Preliminary work, well, you're done. Your thought has crossed your mind. It's over. So the fact that we've gotten to that point where the report comes public that they're doing preliminary work on a change, then we get the report that Mike McDaniel could be a candidate, and again, he's not available. He's currently a head coach. You currently have a head coach who was asked about if he wants to remain the coach next year, and he can't even give you a straight yes, no answer. And coach, it's kind of the reason to be, and I felt like a broken record on these pregame shows the last couple of weeks. Like, when I say I don't understand why the organization has this philosophy that they don't make changes in the middle of the season because it doesn't do anything. Well, it's like, now you've gotten to a point where it's so awkward, it's so uncomfortable, it's weak, and that's publicly facing. I can't even imagine if I feel awkward and comfortable about the situation. I can't even imagine what it feels like for these real life human beings that have to roll up to their jobs while publicly it's known that their bosses are doing preliminary work on replacing them. Like, it's beyond an uncomfortable situation, and I feel like it could have been solved had they just made the change when things were really like when you lost that game to the Titans and you knew what this season was going to be. I don't get why they couldn't have just ripped the Band-Aid off then. But it certainly feels like with all of this stuff out there, yeah, like preliminary research on making it, like, what? Like, just make the decision if that's what you guys are ready to do.
Well, and once again, I always think of it as there's a human element involved in this too. And you think about his kids and his family, and they got to uproot. Like, there's a human element that you always, you know, they make a lot of money. It doesn't matter. These guys are human beings, and Kevin has always said the right things. It's not what everybody wants to hear, but I appreciate the fact that he's never pawned off their issues on anybody else. And all the things that have happened have not been him. And he has never, when you look back at, like, he didn't understand Flacco was being traded. So, you know, there was an alignment issue then. That's when the first time I kind of saw it. So if there's an alignment issue, he could have very easily thrown Andrew Berry under the bus and say, we don't have this. He's never done that. And when people talk about how hard the team has played, and the thing, the idea that he owns it, that is very attractive to other owners, and he's had success. And once again, it doesn't mean he shouldn't be fired. It doesn't mean that's, you know, in the game of football, we all get hired to get fired. Sometimes your message doesn't get through, and that's part of it too. Some of his things that have, they're not working right now. So maybe a new voice is just sometimes necessary.
I just have this inkling that we're going to get to Sunday night or Monday morning. And it's going to, I think the phrasing that's going to come out is going to be the mutual split, because I think Kevin feels like he's taken this thing as far as it can possibly go. We're getting reports in real time. This one from ESPN NFL Nation's Jordan Reynon, who puts out the Giants interview list, is officially public. It includes Mike McCarthy, Chris Shula, the Rams defensive coordinator who has local ties here because of John Carroll, blue streaks in the NFL, Antonio Pierce, and more, as the Giants are getting ready to cast a wide net. Kevin Stefanski is a name to watch in New York. He will attract serious interest from the Giants if he's fired from the Browns. So these guys are already setting up the next chapter of what's to come in their lives, which they should, and that's what any sensible person would do in life when it comes to and pertains to a career. But it's like, this is all playing out so publicly that I can't see any scenario where they retain Kevin Stefanski going into next season. And that feels bizarre to say, because you still have a game that needs to be played. If you beat the Cincinnati Bengals, you will effectively have won two games in a row and then part ways with your head coach. But it feels like that's what we're working here towards, because all of this has become so public that they're working on a split, and that Kevin might welcome a split. Like, this is just lunacy. And I kind of can't believe that they didn't make a change earlier.
Well, you know what? And people have said to me, Riz, why would anybody hire Kevin Stefanski after the last couple of years? For all the things, you know, all the things we're saying, right? He's organized. I watch practice every day. He's organized. But more importantly, the approach he's taken since he's been on the hot seat, or since been like dead man walking, right? So you do all those things as a coach, but you still come to work. Yet you don't throw anybody under the bus. You continue to try to win games. You continue to try to do stuff. I've seen them set up stuff from previous weeks. So they're working during the week. Those are the things that are, you know, you get those old owners. That's, you know, stability. All the things that he brings, and he's won. Whether you like it or not, he has won when he's had his people. Now, those struggles, his idea of being out of here, probably realistic and probably mutual, like you said, because he is taking the grunt of all of this. And this is not all Kevin Stefanski, but that's what you sign up for. If you're a coordinator, a head coach, or a quarterback, this is what you sign up for.
Do you think that the Browns would need to upgrade their situation, like, as they're doing their preliminary research on making a change, whatever that means? Do you think that they're operating under the belief that they need to make an upgrade at their coaching position, meaning that Kevin Stefanski's taking us as far as he's going to take us, we need to get someone that takes us further than Kevin Stefanski? Or do you think that this is just a situation where it doesn't matter, we need a new voice? Because I'm in the camp of, it doesn't matter, we need a new voice. And that's why I think you see guys like Mike McDaniel, which I don't know, one-to-one, that's like an instant upgrade. I think that's, if anything, probably a lateral move. But I do think that they just are kind of ripping up the piece of paper of Kevin Stefanski's tenure in Cleveland and saying, regardless of what has happened and what will happen for him in the future, like, in the present day, we just need a new voice in here.
Yeah, that's what happens, right? That's why when you're around an NFL team for 6 years, that's a long tenure now. If you think about, like, the Tomlins of the world, those guys are very, very few and far between. The idea of everybody has to be aligned, and that changes really quick when you get new GMs, or you saw, you know, the thought partners of Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, that's even separated, right? So the idea of being around for 6 years, for me, it comes, you just need a new voice. And for him, when they say mutual, that's on him too. And, you know, it could have been, it seriously could have been, hey, we're going to get through this year with you as our guy, and we're probably going to move in a different direction. Then Kevin has been able to say the right things that kind of leads him to his next job. I don't think this is, the bottom line is he's not winning enough games, and his message isn't getting through. Kevin Stefanski did not get dumb. Kevin Stefanski is not a bad football coach. None of these guys are. Sometimes you just need a change of voice, and that's why there's so much change in the NFL at all levels of football anyway.
Well, it does certainly seem like changes are on the horizon for our Cleveland Browns. Could they also be on the way for the Miami Dolphins? And Mike McDaniel does have one thing that I think Browns fans should be looking for in their next head coach. I'll tell you what that is in 5 minutes. It's Nick Padone, Coach Riz, Lance Reisland, with you guys till noon, right here on The Fan.
We talked last segment, like, hey, we're both pretty much in the boat here, Nick, and correct me if I'm wrong, but in the boat that Kevin's probably gone, and it's basically set in stone at this point, or maybe, I don't know, set in wet cement, but it's going to be turned to stone here pretty quickly.
I think so. It's just like, how can you look at it? And like, I hear that clip from audio from Albert Breer, and I get it. Like, in life, in business, you make relationships, especially over 6 years. Like, I'm sure Kevin and Jimmy and Dee and Kevin's wife, like, I'm sure they do have a really solid working relationship. You know, one of the big issues, though, that I've had with this entire regime from the onset is that they preach process over results. And that means as long as we're doing things our way, and as long as we're smelling our own farts, that means more than the results. That means more than winning football games on Sunday. And I always thought that was the wrong approach, because the NFL is the ultimate, it's the utmost results-oriented business. So to preach process over results, you're kind of saying, well, the rest of this doesn't really matter. The winning does not matter. And ultimately, I think that's going to be the pitfall of Kevin Stefanski, is that they put so much emphasis on the process, not enough emphasis on the results. And you're sitting here and you'd won 3 games last year and 4 wins this year. And that's just not good enough.
Yeah, and listen, like, I understand the process-driven, like, mindset. I do. Like, if you're doing all the right things, the idea is obviously that the results will follow. And I think that hands down, when you're rebuilding an organization and rebuilding a team, that's the right approach to have, right? Like, if you're going to try to put the right guys in place and say, all right, we want to build this thing from the ground up, it needs to be process driven. Like, the Tennessee Titans right now need to be process driven. And unfortunately, they've probably been results driven in a lot of the moves that they've made. But, like, you know, your team's bad. You know, the talent isn't there on either side of the ball for a team like that. Probably should be process driven. If you're doing the right things, getting the young players developed into places where you can have success, if you continue to build on that product, that's probably the right way to go about it. Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry were handed a great football team. It basically had to be results driven right from the beginning. Like, the expectation was that you were going to win games the moment that you got here. And it started that way. You had an in-between season in 2023 where it ended up that way. But the overall process has not gotten to the results. Like, so, yeah, that process goes away. And there's part of this that bothers me. And, like, I know Daryl's talked about this, and I think he even mentioned it yesterday when he was on with Spencer and I, to the point of, like, you basically sit here and it's either both of these guys or it's none of them. Like, that's the mindset we should have. And I've been in the boat that, like, if it was up to me, yes, I would probably be saying, okay, Andrew Berry, Kevin Stefanski, you've had 6 years. It hasn't worked. Best case scenario is probably to reset the entire organization. I also think that if it came down to it right now, if you asked people and you gave them truth serum and made them give the absolute truth, would you rather have both of these guys back, or would you rather, you know, actually have one of them gone and another one back? I'm thinking that there's a lot more people here that would be happy with the pound of flesh and one of these guys being gone than they would be happy with just complacency and saying, you know what, we're okay with the 7 to 8 wins over the last 2 years because the process was the right way. And this team is going to turn it around when they get more talent. I think there's a lot more people that'd be a lot happier with, no, one of these guys is gone and somebody at least is held accountable for this.
Yeah, I see it both ways. I see it from that lens that, like, something has to change. Like, the last thing that you can do is run it back. So if that's what I have to sign up for, if that's what I'm resigned to, sure, I guess I'll put up with it. But, that's definitely not my preferred path. I'm with you. I think that, like, the best path forward, and I believe this, like, and it's nothing against, like, the names. It's nothing against Kevin Stefanski specifically or Andrew Berry specifically. I just think the educated to go about way to go about it is just to clean house and start over. I think it makes a lot more sense to get a new GM and a new head coach together. You guys know, like, they'd be on the same page. And like, we had that for 6 years. And that's what Jimmy cares about, is that alignment and the cohesion and everything that goes on behind the scenes being in lockstep. And we had that for 5 years. And it led to two playoff appearances. So we were close. It just ultimately didn't get as far as it was supposed to. And a big part of that is because of the Deshaun Watson trade. So it's not the way that I would do it. But yeah, I do think you're a little bit crazy if you're like, it's got to be all or nothing. And it's like, no, because if they fire Kevin, people will be content with that. Because, and another layer of that too, if they do clean house, I think that creates an atmosphere for Haslam where he's kind of just like that Will Smith in the empty room, you know, where he's just looking around like, well, what decision do I make next? Is it the coach first? Is it the GM first? So at least if they keep Andrew Berry, he's the one leading this charge. I really think there's a world, especially with some of this stuff that was out there, and we're going to get into what the Tom Telesco and Greer thing means for the Browns. I really think there's a world where they give Andrew Berry the fake de facto promotion, quote unquote, where you're the new chief strategy officer, call it. You're the new Paul D. Podesta, and we're going to bring in an actual football guy to make these decisions, and then you and football guy work together to find said new head coach.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how that dynamic works, and like you said, we're going to get into it at some point here later on in the show, but like, I don't know. There's just a part of me that's like, if you keep this unit in place, and by all means, if you kept Kevin Stefanski, I'd imagine that probably includes keeping Tommy Rees. That probably includes, you know, I'd imagine the way that Kevin's operated, like Chad O'Shea's probably back here. Maybe Bubba Ventrone. I don't know how they feel about that internally, but maybe Bubba Ventrone's back here. Like, you walk away from this season feeling like there is absolutely zero accountability taken for the last two seasons that have taken place. Nobody has gotten, you know, I mean, essentially thrown to the wolves and been like, you didn't do your job good enough. When very clearly there are, I mean, a million fingers to point around this organization to say, you didn't do your job good enough. Like, Andrew Berry didn't equip this offense well enough. Didn't do your job well enough. Kevin Stefanski did not get these players to play above their talent level, and you did not win enough games. You can go to Tommy Rees, Bubba Ventrone, Chad O'Shea. You can go basically across the board as long as you're mostly ignoring the defense, and you can go, you probably didn't do your job well enough. At some point, you're just looking at the Browns to hold somebody accountable. And I think that's what people want more than anything. I sit here, I tell you right now, if the idea is you either run both of them back or you get rid of one of them, I'm on board, get rid of one of them. Like, I don't think this thing gets any better by just being like, oh, we'll keep everybody in place. You've already showed me the fractures.
No.
You've already showed me they're not on the same page.
You can't run it back. And I know we're doing this because we've got 4 or 5 hours this morning to just go through every Browns avenue. They're not gonna.
They
can't. What would be the reason to tune into games next year? Because now you're sitting back there with the sixth pick. You'll have the seventh pick with a win on Sunday against Cincinnati. That's the furthest back that you can fall in the draft order. There is seven. So you're probably not getting one of these shiny new quarterbacks in Fernando Mendoza or Dante Moore, because there's other QB needy teams in front of you. And the New York Jets could break everybody because they've got the best offer. They've got the most ammunition.
And by the way, our slotted to probably fall at the number two pick.
So like, when you're looking for a reason to even care about Browns football next year, if you return Kevin Stefanski, Andrew Berry, what, these two rookie quarterbacks that we've had this year plus Deshaun Watson, you're going to bring back Kenny Pickett and do the four-man quarterback battle all year again? Well, guess what? I'd be out on that. I'm completely out on that. And I'll tell you right now, if that's the plan, you could take the Sunday show with me and Daryl Ryder from all offseason and just replay that every single Sunday, because what more would we have to talk about? It would be quite literally the same thing over again. That's the definition of insanity. Whereas at least with a new head coach, even if the GM stays, at least with a new head coach, you get a little bit of a different direction. Maybe they go defensive minded and lean into how elite this unit is. Maybe they go offensive minded and try to get an actual modern NFL offense in here. But I think something has to change, because if it doesn't, what is even the reason to care next year?
Yeah,
there's none.
I just don't see a route where I'm sitting here going, Oh, well, I mean, Kevin and Andrew weren't on the same page this year. But, hell, I mean, you give them another year and a more talented offense, things are just going to look better. Like, there comes a point where two guys who are in positions of power, who are both striving for the same goal, but clearly this year had two different routes about trying to get to that goal. Once you kind of fracture that relationship, and I think, like, I hate to continuously point back to the Deshaun trade, but, like, I think that it can probably start there. Like, there has to be, in this organization, some just, I mean, anger between everybody that on how that thing didn't work, whether that's, you know, just an organizational failure to go get the guy, whether that's, you know, Kevin didn't do enough to make it work with him, whatever right. It was. Somebody is feeling some certain way about it, and I'm sure relationships in that building are, you know, a little bit more tense than you would probably like them to be. That just doesn't get fixed. Like, you don't just erase the last 6 years. I understand that you tried to give everybody basically a mulligan this year and be like, all right, let's try to run this thing back despite last year being a colossal failure. I think this year showed, like, there is not a proper working relationship. They can get along in the building. They can, you know, show face pretty much most of the time in a very positive manner about each other. But I don't think there's a true fix to that where you just get right back on track, right back to winning football, and everything is kumbaya once again, which for this team right now, you're looking for kumbaya. Like, you need everybody on the same page to get this thing turned around. If we're talking about this, you know, the quote unquote the Super Bowl window number two for the Browns, like, you can't miss. You literally do not have a year to go and look at it and be like, ah, well, we really flopped this year. Like, there has to be, I'm not saying you're Super Bowl or bust next year or anything crazy, not even playoff or bust next year, but there needs to be a constant and a massive leap next year too. This team is so much closer to getting into a playoff. I mean, back to a competitive team. And if not, well, Andrew Berry's job should probably be on the line.
Yeah.
And this team, the Super Bowl window number two, is probably a massive failure too.
I am surprised that we're not, like, that Andrew Berry is somehow completely safe in this entire conversation, because what are we talking about? We're talking about a defense right now that's Super Bowl caliber, ready to go. And that's why we need to make these fast steps, because this defense is ready to roll. So what do we need this offseason and probably next offseason? We need to fix this offense. We need to figure out, do we have an answer at quarterback? We need to fix this offensive line, and we need to fix these wide receivers. Well, Andrew Berry cannot do any of that. He's proven to us. And I get that he hasn't had the first round picks and the resources. Well, you made that bed. You made that bed and you lay in it. That's pro sports and that's life. It's unfair. So what? Like, they traded all the first round picks for Deshaun, but the issue was, like, some of those other draft picks haven't even been playable. It's not that they're like all bust. It's that, like, some of these dudes are out of the league. Siaki Ika, what's he up to? He's out of the league.
He might be in the CFL right now.
He's out of the league. They drafted two running backs, two quarterbacks, no offensive linemen. And we wonder why Shedeur Sanders, his jersey looks like it needs a laundry detergent sponsor after every game. We wonder why. It's like, well, Dylan Sampson, Quinshon Judkins are fun. Could have probably used a tackle, Andrew.
Yeah, like, hey, there's so many things you can point to. Listen, I think it's wild that Andrew Berry is completely safe, but I think that there's a clear message that is, you know, at least forming right now. It hasn't been fully put out there. We'll figure it out at the end of the season, but that is, Jimmy Haslam has a much better probably respect right now, the way that Andrew Berry has gone about his job, the decisions that he has made in his position, than the way he feels about Kevin Stefanski. If you're deciding, I'm moving on from one of these guys and not the other, you are telling me, one of these guys has gotten it right more than they've gotten it wrong, and we see the failures in another point. Not saying that you're right there, but clearly that's the feeling. If Barry's back here and Stefanski's not, I mean, listen, I don't agree with it, but if you sit there and Berry ends up being the right guy, then props to you. But yeah, from the outside looking in, it makes it real difficult for me to sit here and be like, oh yeah, job safe. Like, Andrew's done enough. 216-474-0092. Are you more willing to accept both Stefanski and Berry stay than just one of them being gone? Throw out the idea that they're both gone. You can put it to the side for a minute. We all know that's probably what you want. But would you be rather having both of them back legitimately rather than just, you know, actually get somebody held accountable for this? Again, 216-474-0092. We already need your calls coming up here as well. An interesting report from Chris Fedor that has kind of gone overlooked in this city about the Cavs that we're going to get into coming up here in 5 minutes as well. It's Jake Valnick, Nick Pedone, in for Ken and Anthony this morning on The Fan.
We got college football coming up. Browns have one more game to go. And how about the Cavaliers bouncing back a little bit last night?
Jeff is off today, and Tom Withers is in. I'm Andy Baskin. Hi, Tom. How are you?
Hi, Andy Baskin. Good to see you.
I love your Blocko hat that you're wearing today. I know Jeff has a thing. I always have to remind Jeff that we're on the radio to start the show because he always wants to talk about what we're wearing. Right, Dan? He's always talking about what we're wearing. I'm like,
he's so fashion forward, that Jeff Phelps.
He is, man. He puts the Munsk in Munsking wear.
Yeah, I had to go to the Blocko today. A little Buckeye love here on the eve of the game. So
yeah,
eve of the game. Yeah. So here we go. I'll be honest. I'm a little nervous.
You're nervous.
And by nature, I kind of am, just because I've been through so many of these, you know, great Buckeye seasons with better teams that have fallen short. And, you know, after watching Miami, and I'll be honest, and I'm a much bigger college football fan than I am NFL. I watched them probably a half dozen times this year. Yeah. And earlier this year, and we're going to have Tim Reynolds from the AP on later, who covers the Canes. I remember saying to him, I feel like it's Ohio State, Miami, and everybody else. And that was before I was an Indiana believer, even though I think Alabama's going to get them on Thursday.
I think so, too.
Yeah. So thanks. Yeah. Go Bucks.
All right. We'll get into that in a little bit. I do want to start off with what I think everyone's talking about in town still as we kind of get towards Sunday, the last game of the season.
Guardians free agency?
Yeah, it's exactly what we were talking about because, hang on.
Micah.
Okay, good. Man, it's amazing. I was thinking that.
Menigan something in me?
You are great, man. I got to tell you that.
Mastermind over there.
It may or may not have come up a couple times in the coming days of people going, so are they going to do anything?
Yeah, I don't know. Hang on. Lottery winning tonight? All right. See what you did. Okay. See if you did anything for me. All right. So now you look at Sunday's game, and it pushes you into this other world. Jeff and I talked a lot about some of this stuff yesterday. I really want your perspective on it, too.
By the way, one quick thing.
Sure.
Pass interference on the final play?
I don't know.
I don't either.
Jeff was going off on it yesterday. Like, oh, we really got lucky on that, blah, 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 blah.
Well,
what I couldn't understand
about
is...
About time we got lucky about something.
Well, yeah. I mean, why didn't the Steelers try to throw down the middle of the field?
Yeah, their play calling down the stretch was awful, and obviously I wonder where DK Metcalf was watching that game, but it was it was borderline. They allowed them to listen. They let them play physical most of the game, so you got to be consistent with that if you're an official, right? So there was contact. There's no question about it. I'm not sure he was going to pull it down, whether or not Denzel had grabbed him upper body or whatever. But anyway, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
No.
That's
actually not off track because there's a number of questions I could ask you about that. And one of the questions that I thought was interesting that came out of the game on Sunday, as I just try to think back on everything that happened, that there was this notion, and I felt this watching the whole game, that Pittsburgh's offense was 100%, I shouldn't say 100%, but it seemed to be so worried about Miles setting the record.
No doubt.
But Tom, is that us being Clevelanders on that? Because I called a couple of my friends that are Steeler fans, and we have a lot of fun. I go, because I don't watch every play of every Steelers game. And, I had two guys say to me, you know what? The Steelers are just that bad and that their wide receiving core is horrific.
I think that's part of it.
And so that if he gets the ball out that quick all the time, Aaron Rodgers, then so be it. That's the way it was. But to me, as I was watching the game, I was like, man, Pittsburgh forgot that if they win this game, they're in the playoffs, and they're more worried about Miles getting a stupid sack.
Yeah, I don't know if they were more worried, but I think there was definitely an element to it. And, and Miles talked about this on Friday, and we've seen this for years, right? There's no team that goes to the lengths that it goes to, like the Steelers, to prevent him from getting to their quarterback, whether it's, Bubby Brister or Aaron Rodgers, right? I had to pull
a good old
Steeler name from
it. We go to the bullpen.
From yesterday. Yeah. So, that was clearly part of the game plan, was to not allow him to get the sack, which is just stupid. Now, again, this is a very flawed Pittsburgh team. That's not a very good team.
No.
They've got a better running game than I think that they realize, and they don't utilize it the right way. Muth didn't make a catch until the final drive, and then he gets two in a row, right?
Yeah. I think he ended with three on the day, though. I think he had one early. But I was looking for him the whole game, and I was like, where is he?
And they obviously missed Metcalf, which was, a huge blow to them. I'm still waiting for there to be some kind of reprieve, and he gets a one-game suspension and comes back this Sunday. I don't know. That's just part of the conspiracy theorist in me, and that's not a big part of me.
If you think things are scripted, they couldn't have been scripted any better. You got yourself
an AFC North championship game, which how often does that happen?
Yeah, and then it'll be interesting to see whether or not Lamar comes back and whether or not the Ravens want to play a 75% Lamar Jackson over a, you know,
why wouldn't you, though, to get in the playoffs?
Oh, I think you have to. Without a doubt. Yeah, and I know people think that either Harbaugh or Tomlin could be done at the end of this year, and who knows? But, yeah, there was a lot to unpack from Sunday's game, and I know we want to talk about what this means going forward, and I don't know if the result had a major impact really on anything, Andy, only because there's just so many layers to this, right? We still don't know who the decision makers are going to be, you know, beyond Andrew Berry, right? Who is going to be making this call? I thought Shador accounted of himself very well. I saw some more progress. I saw some more problems. I think this idea that you can make a definitive answer that, yes, he's our franchise quarterback going forward is far-fetched, to say the least. I think anybody...
But why can't people... They're like, Shador fans like can't understand that this is like just... Part of this is just reality of being a rookie quarterback.
Well...
And that, you know, some of the things that are going to happen are going to happen to him because he just doesn't know. Like, the one interception that he threw...
It's as bad an interception as you've ever seen.
I mean, it was the definition of a rookie interception.
Trying to do too much, et cetera, et cetera.
And right? I get it, and I understand it. But then when he talked about it in post game, it was kind of like, you know, Colorado, I kind of felt like I could put it up there and my guys could get it. Well, this isn't Colorado, and those defensive backs are a hell of a lot better than the guys you saw in college. Well,
and to your point, the touchdown is all Fannin.
Yeah.
I mean, that ball needs to be intercepted. And if you saw Jalen Ramsey's reaction, he's looking at the safety going, dude, you got to pick that ball off. I mean, that thing was a duck, and it just, you know, sat up there. Fannin made a nice little in cut. Unfortunately, and I was so afraid of this, Andy, after I was out of practice on Friday when he tweaked the groin.
Yeah.
And I just knew, given the field conditions on Sunday, that the first, and any of us that have pulled hamstrings and groins and calves through our lives can appreciate this. It's when you first push on it, the hardest is when it goes. And that's what happened to him on that play. So anyway, there was some good.
I would let him play center field anywhere, though. If you ever want to play center field, man, he could judge a ball that was fluttering either way.
Exactly, in that wind as well. So it was good, bad, and everything in between, which has been basically how you could, you know, say what most of his six starts have been to this point, right? So, and as far as Stefanski is concerned, you know, reading the tea leaves out there last week, you know, this, you know, Kevin and his staff are operating, I think, under the assumption that they're going to be back in 2026. Now,
isn't that the way you want it?
I mean, and it's the way you have to be, right? Yeah, Andy, right? I mean, but, and I will say this just from the standpoint of being around here for the last 27 years covering this team, at this point when there's usually a coaching change, man, you can feel it, right? It's dead man walking in the hallways over there. And I haven't gotten that sense. Now, you know, things could change dramatically after Sunday, you know, Monday morning or Tuesday or wherever, you know, we could be in a coaching change situation, but I don't sense that they're there yet. I really don't. And I do still think that Sunday matters.
The next question then I think for Shador Sanders growth is, do you think he's gotten better since the first game he played?
I do. Absolutely.
Okay. So the next question to me is why? And is it him? Can we give Kevin some credit? Can we give the coaching staff some credit? Because some of the things he said, and I brought this up yesterday for a little bit, that some of the things that he said in the postgame press conference led me to believe that he is buying into the system and that he understands now and is beginning to understand the difference between college and pro. And also starting to understand that, you know, I've got different bosses than my dad. I'm not belittling his dad. And I would do anything for my kid to try to help them become a better player. And if I was like some, you know, one of the best multi-sport athletes in the history of sports, I would listen to every, you know, but I listen to what he's saying. And I think he's starting to get it. I think he's starting to understand the fact that this isn't my dad's team anymore. I've got to listen to some of these things that are going on. And he may not present it that way, but if you listen to the undertone of some of the little things he's saying, he's starting to get it in a big boy kind of way.
Andy, tip of the cap to you. I think that is perfectly explained where he is right now. I think he finally understood that this is his job, that he's got to take it seriously. I think, you know, and whatever side you are on the Sanders debate, right, I think you would have to appreciate that the reason that he was not getting these snaps early on was that where he was taken in the draft, yes, that there was a very different plan going forward, right? And that he was not, you know, being as serious about this as he needed to be. I mean, we heard all kinds of rumblings about him, you know, in meetings and just, and it's kind of the, you know, he's got a very, you know, casual approach to a degree. And I'm not saying that the kid doesn't work hard. I think he does. I think he puts in the time. I think he knows I think he now knows he has to put in even extra time
right.
to get to where he wants to be. But I think he now feels like, you know what? I think there's a belief in him too that, not that there wasn't this at the beginning, but I can do this. I can be the guy. And I know that's what part of what has always driven him. He's a very confident person, carries himself in that way, right? But I think now that he's had some success on the field, translates to the next part of his development is, okay, now I got to go into an offseason where I got to work even harder if I'm going to be this franchise quarterback going forward.
You know, he talked about it at the end of the game, too, about like his pregame ritual has even changed. Mm-hmm. And he talked about how he's got to fire himself up before the game to make sure that he's in the place where he needs to be. And I mean, if you go back and watch the beginning of the game and the touchdown drive and the way they were able to get up, I mean, they were up 10-0. How often did that happen this season?
By the way, ball game. It was over.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it is crazy.
I didn't even think about that until you just said
it. But they've been really good, as you know, they've been really good with those scripted plays. They have been. That's kind of a Stefanski staple, right? But yeah. But the kid has gone out and executed it. And they've gotten guys open, and he's thrown good balls. You know, the touchdown, and I'm being somewhat facetious, but, you know, he put it up to where his player could get it, and he probably saw something that I would never see there.
At first, I wondered if it was tipped or if it got caught up in the air. Yeah. I mean, let's not forget, Kevin decided not to kick a field goal because of the wind.
I tell you what's interesting too about Shadur is sometimes his throws look really good and other ones, man, they look awful. And I know there's tough conditions down there too. It's a wet ball. It's a heavy ball. Yeah. There's the typical wind that is associated with any game down at Brown Stadium or Huntington Field. But you know, by and large, Andy, I've been impressed with the kid. I really have. I think he's grown into a better player at this point than I thought back in August or September that he was capable of being. So, you know, kudos to him.
Yeah. I mean, look, he doesn't sound like your typical quarterback, but he sounds like a rookie. Like when I listen to him after the game and I watch him play.
When you cut through it all, I know what you're saying.
He's a rookie.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what his last name is or where he is. And to me, because he's a rookie, that excites me.
Yeah.
That makes me think that all of these little things can be corrected. All of these things can make him your franchise quarterback. But you know, but it's are you gonna put him with, is Kevin the right guy to lead him?
That's
like
what's,
and
that's
I'm watching this. And I'm watching this through six games, and I know there are, like, if you, when I listen to folks, there are people that love Shadur and hate Kevin. And it's like everything that's wrong with Shadur is Kevin's fault.
Which
is
such nonsense.
But it's just, I know. Unbelievable.
You can't listen to any of that.
And, like, I want to hear someone come out and say, and I hope it comes out in one of these press conferences with Shadur or Kevin, to turn around and say, you know what? These guys can work together. And if they do, then we're going to have something successful. I don't know that you need to bring someone else in. I'm also feared that if you lose Kevin, you may lose Schwartz too. And I don't really want to walk down that road. I don't know if they're a pair, but let me just go back to the...
Sure.
Is Kevin the right answer for Shadur? And can Shadur buy into that? Like, I think we almost want to hear Shadur come out and go, you know what? I've learned a lot from Kevin, and I think this is going forward. I think this is... If I'm going to get better... I can see how we're getting better every week, whether it's Kevin or anybody else on the offensive staff.
Here's the problem,
though. This could move forward.
He's been schooled not to say that. He's been told basically not to kind of go there because it's just going to open up a can of worms in one way or another. You hear the way that Shadur is careful about the way he answers a lot of questions, right? He either will not answer them or he'll take the question in an entirely different direction, right?
Yeah, and he'll jump on you, too, if he thinks you're trying to bait him.
And listen, and he's entitled to that. I mean, this is the way it works. But as far as... Kevin deserving credit for where Shadur is today. He deserves at least partial credit. So does Bill Musgrave. So does Tommy Reese. So does the rest of that staff. So do the guys that have been blocking for him, the guys that have been making plays.
So, but are we going to think about this for a second? Are we going to be another Freddie Kitchens situation, right? Because you're trying to figure out where you're going with the quarterback, and if the quarterback likes this guy, you're going to do this because of that. I don't know. But did the win on Sunday, did it seal the deal for Sanders and Stefanski for being back next year? I think that's one of the things you might want to think about. And if not, do you think they would trade up to get a quarterback in the draft? So we're going to talk about all these things coming up. 216-474-0092. It's Baskin and Phelps with Tom Withers.
Like, there is, okay, myself.
Oh, we have a burger bet at play.
I don't even care about that. I'd gladly buy you a burger if I end up wanting the Steelers to lose. But I just don't know.
I mean, it's a perfect burger bet streak that's on the line. Yeah. Your Cal Ripken streak of burger bets is on the line.
I'll still win the other ones. I still got Fanta, Dustin from over there. Although I'm going to try and pawn his burger back onto you so I don't have to go to lunch with him.
There's no transfer of burgers.
I don't think you know.
No. There's no transfer of burgers.
I don't think you, like, you're not the burger guy. You're not the burger bet guy.
There's no transfer of burgers.
I don't believe we said that.
I get my burger from you, and that's how that works.
By way of him.
This is dirty. This is very dirty.
No, what I'm saying
I don't appreciate this at all.
Why?
This is a John Fanta level of swerve that I don't know. I do not appreciate. This is
you get a burger via me.
No.
Via Dustin Cuck.
No transfer. I didn't make a bet with Dustin Cuck. I made a bet with you.
Well, no, but I made bets with both of you, and I won one and lost one. Ergo, I reroute a burger
There's
to
no
you.
There's no rerouting burgers.
You've never specified that. That was not part of the contract.
This is dirty play. Jax, agree with me on this. This is dirty play.
Yeah.
How's it dirty play?
I mean, you made the bet with Dustin.
Yeah, and I won that one.
Dustin only made the bet.
And I would lose this one.
He only made the bet so that either he'd win a burger or he could take you out to eat a burger.
Uh-huh. And I now sidestep that.
No, that was the funny part of this is that I didn't want to eat a burger with Dustin.
I now sidestep that
I wouldn't agree
by
to a
sending
burger
that burger to you.
I wouldn't agree to a burger bet
it's
with
a good
Dustin
burger.
Cuck.
You know he's going to get you a good burger. That's a guy that knows burgers.
I don't have time to go out to eat a burger with him.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't. Yeah. I have two children under 3 years old.
And you can,
I barely
you can push
have time
off
to
on
show
your
up to this job. What are we talking about?
You can
about?
Push him off on the in-laws.
That's not
your
how
father-in-law
that works.
Loves you. Like, if
yes,
he heard you got a free burger via Dustin Cuck. He would love that.
Shout out to him, by the way. Today is his very last day of work ever.
No way.
Today is it.
How long's Pop's
last
been
day,
at it?
42 years.
Oh.
42 years at MetroHealth. He has delivered. I think they tried to count how many babies he's delivered. It's something like 7,000 or something
it's
insane.
It's like Wilt Chamberlain. We just never know how many
it's
women
like,
there were.
It's an insane number of babies that he's delivered over 42 years. Today's the very last day.
Now,
but his newfound retirement time will not be spent doing any more than he's got to do in that department.
Does he know?
Because he's already doing some heavy lifting.
Does he remember the first baby he delivered?
No, not that I know of.
Now,
I didn't ask him about
it,
though.
Did he deliver his own children?
No.
That'd be
not
a weird one.
That would
be
a weird one.
That'd
be
really
The same way he obviously did not deliver his grandchildren either.
That'd be weirder.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I think so. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't do that.
So what's going to happen is Dustin Cuck's going to give you a burger.
It's no rerouting of a burger.
There's nowhere in burger bet dogma that says you can't do that.
I'm telling you right now you can't do that.
But you're not God.
Jeez. Well, now I hope I lose the burger bet just so we don't have this awkward exchange of me just losing respect for you as you try to reroute a burger like it's a UPS package.
I think the awkward exchange is going to be you and Dustin going getting a burger.
I'm not getting a burger with them. I'll tell you that right now. I'm
coming
not getting
from.
A burger with them.
I'm just going to
reroute a burger from Jackson. We can have a good time. I'm not rerouting a burger with Dustin.
Basically, I'm going to have an email draft up. I'm going to CC both of you on it. And then I'm going to say, guys, Dustin, your burger goes to JP.
So this would be different.
Wilson out.
If I had not already paid off a burger bet with you, I might take this a little bit different.
You paid it off in
one way.
You gave me a gift card.
I gave you a digital gift card for a burger. What's wrong with that?
You've already skirted the rules of burger bets.
Cash out of my pocket to go ahead
and
send you a digital card.
Did you personally hand me a burger and say, there you go, slugger?
I gave you the cash equivalent.
Nope, you didn't. No. Did you personally hand me a hot, warm, fresh burger to my hands?
I don't want to personally hand fresh burger. Whatever you just described right there, I don't want that.
Because you don't.
That sounds gross. I don't want the transport of a burger. I don't need that.
There'd be a wrapper over it.
I don't need the transport.
You wrap it before you hand it over.
No, a digital card's great. You go on your own time. You go whenever you want to. We don't have to swerve this as much as you want.
It's not working.
I tell you what, if I lose.
The chicken bleep way of doing a burger.
If I lose on Sunday, I'm doing the same thing I did last time.
That's fine.
I might even lower the amount. Who knows?
You could buy me 75% of a burger.
I'm going to find whatever the lowest costing burger on that menu is, and you might get that.
You're going to get me the salmonella burger?
After this convo. Why don't you just reroute my digital gift back to myself, or have you already used it?
I've already used it. It had to be used, and I kept emailing me, like, you haven't opened this, you haven't opened this.
They were very persistent about those emails.
Honestly, it was very annoying.
It really was.
Very annoying, which is part of the fun for
it. And then they kept emailing me, and I had to then ask you, which is also a big inconvenience. If we didn't see each other all the time, I can't imagine gifting somebody a gift card for a burger and then being like, hey, did you open that?
You know what I should have done? I should have just not opened it. I should have just kept not opening it so it would keep asking you so I get annoyed as much as you get annoyed.
Then you'd have a gift card to give back to me.
So I hope that if I lose, you really enjoy wherever Dustin takes you, a nice little cantina somewhere with good burgers. Maybe we'll take you across the way over here. Hmm? You want a YT burger?
My rooting interest is in Lamar Jackson and John Harbaugh absolutely destroying each other. And so that is in direct conflict to this burger bet.
I do. So I think you bring up a great point here. Because on one hand, Tomlin finally getting fired in Pittsburgh could be the thing that dislodges them. They've gotten lucky. They've hired back-to-back really good head coaches. If they end up hiring a bad coach instead, it could really go south for Pittsburgh for a long time, and we like
Plus,
that.
Plus, when they hire this coach, and let's just call him Marcus Freeman or whatever, right? Like, when they hire this coach, they then have to tear everything back down because they're going to get themselves rid of all these bloated defensive contracts that they have. Aaron Rodgers will not be coming back, so they'll have to start fresh with the quarterback. Like, it's going to be 2 or 3 years before they're any semblance of what you think the Steelers are.
Which, those people, those Yenzers, they deserve it. They really do. They deserve a 10-year stretch like we've gotten since 1999, they deserve that bad of football after how much they've complained about 10 wins and not winning the playoffs. I digress. Or Baltimore loses.
Yeah.
And you do have Harbaugh versus Lamar.
I know.
But that only pays out if that ends with Harbaugh or Lamar not there. Whereas I feel it's more likely if Pittsburgh loses, Tomlin's done.
I've heard more than one media member say that they think this is Lamar Jackson's last game in a Ravens uniform.
They say that when at the end of that season. Remember when Lamar cleaned out his locker room during the playoff game?
People have been wrong before, okay? Yeah. And so, like, obviously there's a chance that they reunite and everything is awesome. That Mike Preston article in the Baltimore Sun was so damning on so many different levels. And there was a thought that that a lot of people explored that Lamar would be so mad about that article because it obviously came from the Ravens and all that info seemed to be leaking directly from the Ravens that he'd be so mad about it that he wouldn't even have gone through and played this week. Now he practiced today. It's all in good. Like it's trending in that direction. I don't know if you're going to go full conspiracy on it. There's a lot of people that wonder whether or not he even had a serious back injury on Saturday night and the season was in the balance.
So here's the problem. If the Ravens lose, I don't see them getting rid of Lamar. It's a $79 million dead cap hit.
I don't see them doing it either.
So does that mean, so if you don't get rid of Harbaugh.
But it's on the table if they choose Harbaugh. It's like it's on the table.
Struggle with them doing
it's that. It's not a 0% chance. And again, Lamar he's openly talked about how he wants to play for the Dolphins, loves the Dolphins, all these other type of things. Like, I mean, there's a bunch of teams out there that would be champing, whatever you want to say, at the bit to go ahead and get his services. Like, it's a world that exists that you can get rid of either Lamar or Harbaugh, and one of them being gone is a great thing.
Well, here's another wrinkle to this. If Tomlin got fired or mutual parting of whatever dumb way they want to say it with Pittsburgh, I think there's a 0% chance he'd become the Browns' next head coach. It's apparent he doesn't like how we do business because he's gone out of his way to say it multiple times. Harbaugh, he's a
in a very Jim Mora way.
Youngstown or Toledo? I think Toledo. So he's from the general region. I know the Harbaughs had some love for the Browns growing up. I kind of could see John Harbaugh being here. So that is another element to this. If John Harbaugh gets fired, I don't know it's a huge chance, but I think there's a chance that Haslam would go, I'll pay $20 million a year, come here, be my head coach, right?
Could totally see it.
I don't see it happening with Tomlin. I think that's another wrinkle to this.
Either way, we're in the catbird seat. Like this is almost a win-win situation. And if the worst thing out of all of this is that it just continues to spotlight that there needs to be changes, maybe we don't get the payoff this year, but we'll get it in the next year or two.
Can you imagine if the Ravens and Dolphins made a Tua for Lamar trade? Even if there were a boatload of first-round picks going to Baltimore, can you imagine Tua playing a quarter of his season in Pittsburgh and Cleveland? Even Cincinnati's cold weather enough.
He'd be screwed.
Be funny. It'd be very funny.
I think Tua's a career backup after this year, but he'd be 100% screwed. I don't know. It'd be very fascinating to see what could happen with Lamar. Like, there is a spot where you wonder if Baltimore, they have two playoff wins since the 2020 started. The theme of the NFL world right now is that Lamar can't get past either Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes. I mean, they just might look at this and just say it's not worth all the trouble that comes with this. He is constantly injured. He is constantly a nuisance. He's so talented and he's so good at his job, but there is a breaking point for a lot of people, and I just wonder if Baltimore's close to that.
I've got another theory on why some Browns fans might want Harbaugh, or sorry, the Ravens to lose, which could dislodge Harbaugh than Tomlin.
Mm-hmm.
But 216-474-0092. What if the what's your God? Who are you rooting for to fail on Sunday, Baltimore or Pittsburgh? Depending on the fallout of that, who wanted to take Shedeur Sanders in the draft,
yeah,
and then
Ravens.
We're told not to?
Yeah.
That tells me that John Harbaugh was on board with drafting Shedeur Sanders, which means John would, I think, be okay coming here with all the whatever and being a part of Shedeur maybe in 2026.
I like that point.
Don't hate that.
That's another feather in the cap of Harbaugh.
Now, the question is, who would you then go with the OC? Would you just say, John, you come here, we'll pay you 20 a year, and you got Jim Schwartz and Tommy Rees? Because he's not always been great at hiring the staff.
Yeah.
He's run through multiple. Now, that's a Baltimore thing,
Munkin,
too.
Martindale, all these guys.
Munkin's good.
Yeah.
Like, he's the guy that finally unlocked the true MVP version of Lamar.
They still ended up in a spot against the Patriots in a must-win game where they went 12 minutes not using Derrick Henry. Like, they still make some bird brain decisions at times, though.
That's fair. But Munkin's better than, oh, my God, who else do they have? Greg Roman?
Yeah.
Greg Roman, who looks pretty good when he actually is a drop-back passing quarterback. Helps with the other Harbaugh there. But no, I would consider that as part of a
plus.
Oh, no,
that's a win. I think it's a massive win for the Browns for sure. I'm rooting for the chaos of this all, and I'm rooting for more Lamar Jackson leaks that speak of the dysfunction on both sides. And could you imagine being in the Baltimore front office? How do you fix this?
By the way, I think I'm going to ride the fence on this one. There's no outcome in that game, Baltimore and Pittsburgh, where one of those teams loses, that's bad for us.
No, we win. Yeah. Again, that we're in the catbird seat. This is a win-win
for us. Just like me
in
the burger bet.
You just get to sit back, relax, and enjoy the cruise.
Yeah.
This
Either
is not like the
you,
burger
you
bet.
You buy me a burger, or Dustin buys you a burger.
You legitimately lose the burger bet, and then you have to go into your wallet, and you have to pay off those debts.
Radu saying it. For a lot of people on social media, he always thought burger bets had to have burger presented in person. Yep, that's how the burger game, the respectable burger game has been played in history.
Well, hold on now.
It's how Francesa and Mad Dog did it 20 years ago, and that's how they got to number one.
If you're accusing me of not playing an ethical burger bet game, I think you're...
That's not me. That's Radu saying.
No, but I think your sidestepping of the burger bet in its entirety is the most unethical display of burger bet that I can think of.
Well, yeah, because now the gloves are off. Because you went unethical. I'm a gentleman. I fight like a gentleman until you act ungentlemanly. And then I'm a savage hick from Medina County.
Here's the problem with this, is that there's no way I'm going out to dinner with Dustin Cox. That's not happening.
No, lunch.
Yeah,
just good lunch.
Any of it. It's
Pop
not happening.
Into a little cantina.
So I'm going to just have to be...
A couple bros.
No, I just have
Maybe
to be
Maybe
like,
record a podcast with him?
I would just have to tell him, like, I guess you don't have to pay me that. And then I'm now on a... Here's where I'm the sucker, is that now because of you circumventing the rules, I'm in a lose-lose.
How are you in a lose-lose?
Because I'm never going to be able to have that sweet burger off the burger bet if you're just going to just reroute it, as if that's a thing.
If you just would give in
and,
to the proper burger
flow. And then if the Steelers win, then I straight up just lose the bet. And so then there's another just loss.
I know.
It's
pretty awesome for me, though.
What other burger bets do you have?
I have Fanta. I already defeated
Coach.
Oh,
I'll take that one. Let me take the Fanta bet. I'll take that one.
No. Let's do that. I actually had a deal with John.
You want to reroute the burger bet from Fanta to me? One sounds pretty good.
That one's already non-transferable.
We can go golfing. You can take me out to a nice burger place. Like, that sounds like a fun time.
John actually made sure to say ahead of...
You know he's not cheap about it at all.
Yeah, but he already said that one's non-transferable. Back when we forged the bet 3 months ago. So the Dustin one's the only one that is transferable. I'm sorry. I'm a stickler to details.
I don't like this. I don't like this one bit.
That's how it goes.
I will think less of you.
That's fine.
All right.
Yeah.
I knew you could live with that, but I needed to make that clear.
Yeah.
If this is how this goes.
Like, how much are we talking? How much respect?
A considerable amount.
That's fine.
Whatever amount you think Ross Tucker adds to our number one ratings,
yeah, 3%.
And the monster, massive share that we got.
Yeah, 3%.
That's how much I'll think little of you.
I think he's 3% of our ratings.
Then I will think 3% less of you.
Oh, that's fine. That's not a lot.
It's not that much. No, it's not. I mean, again, I'm not going to ruin my day one way or another, but yeah. I will And then I'm going to have to.
And not just that, I'm going to bring it up every time I can.
On top of it, too, then Dustin Cuck understands I won't. I mean, you couldn't pay me enough money to hang out with him. That's not happening.
I'd love to, Dustin, but I'm just trying to float the burger.
It's not happening.
Well, no, I mean, I would love to.
Really selective with the people I go and spend time with. That's not happening.
He really doesn't, Dustin. He's just being disrespectful. I would never be that disrespectful.
I'm constantly that disrespectful.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.